Let me invite you there. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 this morning. And we'll be there momentarily. There's an account told of a small patch of woods where they had several trees that fell due to a lightning strike. And for a while there, before they could get to it and clean it up, it looked like really just a graveyard of decay. A graveyard of death. But in time, as time went on, new greenery began to spring up on both sides of the fallen trunks. And in the midst of that death, life burst forth. That is exactly a picture of what Jesus did. You see, this morning, his death wasn't the end. Quite the opposite. His death was just the beginning of new life for him and for us. And out of that death comes life. And this is both the paradox and the power of the cross. You're there in Galatians chapter 2, and I would draw your attention to verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. And the Bible says this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For a few moments this morning, that's the thought I'd like to preach us on: life out of death. Life out of death. And here in our text this morning, we find the Apostle Paul. And Paul is confronting the idea that righteousness could come from the law. He's confronting this idea that if we live just good enough, that will somehow change our life, that will somehow make us righteous and make us right in the sight of God. And he is writing here to remind the Galatians that our hope does not come from a religious performance, that our hope does not come from doing the right things, saying the right things, wearing the right things. He's writing to show us that our hope is not performance-based. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what makes the difference in our life, and that's what Paul is trying to get through to the Galatian believers here in Galatians chapter number 2. And he makes this powerful statement. To start off, verse number 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And what Paul is saying here, he says, I have died, but in reality, I am more alive than I've ever been before. Why? Because Jesus now lives in me. And there are several thoughts I want us to see this morning as we explore this powerful truth. The first being this. Number one, the purpose of the crucifixion. The purpose of the crucifixion. You know, when we look at the cross looks like a defeat. The cross looks like that Jesus was a victim. But he wasn't a victim. He was a volunteer. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done." In Jesus' death this morning, something divine was taking place. You see, Jesus, he didn't go to the cross and he didn't die by accident. No, he died on purpose. His crucifixion, it wasn't a tragic end, but it was a divine mission. And here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it reveals that we are crucified with Christ. Why is that? Well, because our old life had to go. The things we used to do, the places we used to go, and all the old ways of life had to go. They had to be done away with. Romans 6:8, the Bible says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." You see, this morning, his death is what delivered us from sin's penalty. His death is what delivered us from sin's power. And we needed a Savior who would die in our place to set us free. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." You know, it's just like that fallen tree that we talked about at the beginning of the message this morning. Just like that fallen tree gives way to new growth. The death of Jesus this morning created fertile ground for you and I to have eternal life, to spring up for all who believe. Jesus went to the cross for one reason. You were the reason, and I was the reason, because of his love for you and for me. That was the purpose this morning of the crucifixion. But then, secondly, this morning we see the paradox of the Christian. We see the paradox of the Christian. And that is death, yet life. You see, when we become a follower of Jesus, it requires death. Not only his death, but our death. It requires that we die. Now, not physically, but spiritually. We must die to our old ways. We must die to our selfishness. We must die to our sin. We must die to our pride. We must die to our rebellion. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." And then here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, towards the end, the Apostle Paul writes, or in the beginning there, he says, "Nevertheless, I live." You see, this morning, Christianity is a paradox. We die so that we might live. As believers, we are spiritually crucified, but made alive in Christ. This paradox, we're going to see it this morning, It's echoed in baptism. These three individuals that they're going to follow Christ in baptism, Romans 6:4, were buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. You think of a child this morning, they choose to obey their parents. That child, they have to let go of their own desires to follow the parents' will. In the same way, you and I, we submit to Jesus. Listen, not out of duty, but out of love. We live for Him, not because it's, again, some type of duty. There's a book that I have. It's titled "Duty Not or Preference Not Duty" or "Preference Not or Duty Not Preference." And we don't live and serve Jesus out of duty. We serve Him and live for Him out of love. And we see here this paradox that if we want to live in Christ, we have to die to ourselves. We have to say, Lord, here's my old ways, my selfishness, my sin, my pride, my rebellion. I'm taking it. I'm giving it to You. Lord, give me a new life. That's the paradox this morning. But then thirdly, this morning we see the presence of Christ. The presence of Christ. And that is Him living within. Notice there again, Galatians 2:20. Paul says we live by the faith of the Son of God. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I want you to understand something this morning. The Christian life is not just imitation. It's not just we imitate Jesus. No, the Christian life is about habitation. The fact that Jesus dwells in us through His Spirit and we dwell in Him. Colossians 1:27, the Bible says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to know this morning, when you have Jesus in you, you have hope. When you have Jesus living inside of you, you have a hope that others don't seem to have. And we no longer live to fulfill our desires, but to reflect His character. And the presence of Christ within us, that's what starts to transform us, transform our motives, transform our attitudes, transform our actions. Before we know it, we're not the same person we used to be. That's what Christ in us will do. Then fourthly, this morning, we see the power of faith. And that means that we have a dependence daily upon Him. You know, as Paul says here, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Listen, you need to know this morning, faith is not only how we're saved, but faith is also how we survive. Faith is how, you know, we can get up on a Monday and we can go face this nasty world and face, you know, I often said, you know, we're not in the sweet by and by just yet. We're still in the nasty now and now. You know, every day you wake up, it's new challenges, new fights, new battles, new everything. How do you face those things? Listen, if we had to face them alone, man, we'd be pretty miserable. But because we have Jesus, we can not only survive, but we can thrive. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing even when we don't see it. That's what faith is. Faith is just saying, God said it. That's enough. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, when you sit in a chair You trust it to hold your weight, don't you? That's faith. You don't test it. You just rest in it. I'm going to have Joe come up and help me here a minute.
Now, Joe. Now, this is going to be a picture of faith. Okay?
I'm not cross following.
So now I want you to turn around and face Mandy. Oh, yeah. Now, Joe. I want you to trust that I'm going to catch you. Now just fall.
Nope.
Come on, you want me to fall? Will you catch me?
Sure.
All right, so now this is faith, though, okay? This is faith. So now I'm going to trust him.
It's trusting and resting in Him. We don't test it. We just trust Him. That's what faith is. Faith in Jesus works the same way. We rest in Him daily. Every single day, we just rest in Him. And listen, some days are better than others. Some days are worse than others. But every time we have Him, it helps us get through those bad days. And so we see the power of faith. And then fifthly this morning, we see the passion of the Savior. We see the passion of the Savior, and that's love demonstrated. Paul says here in Galatians 2:20 that Jesus loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what we refer to in the Bible as agape love. Selfless, sacrificial. Paul ends this verse with the most beautiful truth. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Folks, this morning, that's the gospel in one sentence. That Jesus loved you and He gave His life for you. Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Agape love this morning, sacrificial, selfless love was displayed on the cross. The cross this morning is proof that God's love is personal, that God's love is powerful, that God's love is permanent. Easter is proof that God's love has no limits. Years ago, I was having a discussion and with somebody, and the thought came up, well, can Jesus forgive every sin? And I remember I said to that person, I said, the moment we say a sin is unforgivable is the moment we call the cross unreliable. Jesus died for all sin, for everybody, everywhere. And God's love this morning has no limits. From the cross to the empty tomb, His love conquered death for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's John 3:16, the verse that shook the world with love. If you leave today not remembering anything else that was preached this morning, just leave knowing this: God loves you. And Jesus loves you. And then number six, and finally this morning, we see the promise of the resurrection. The promise of the resurrection. Our destiny has been secured. When you and I die to sin and come alive in Christ, we gain more than just a better day. We gain eternity. And because we are united with Christ in his death, we will also be united with him in his resurrection. 1 John 5:11, the Bible says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son." Billy Graham once said this. He said, "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address." Folks, this morning, this world is full of fear. It fears death. But as Christians this morning, we don't have to fear death. Because the tomb is empty and our hearts are full. Because Jesus lives, we can live. And because he is risen, we will rise. Out of death comes life for all who trust in him. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.